Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 14. He's going to bring us to situations where He is going to force us to follow His way. Paige, you had something you wanted to say. I don't want to forget you. Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I just had back surgery, so I couldn't help move anything. That stuff looked heavy. It really did. In Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to run through this just for a minute. I want you to read the Word of God. In Exodus 14, 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it ye shall camp by the sea. And I want you to look at what God said. He told them to turn. They were going in one direction, and God intervened, and He said, no, go this way. And God told them to turn from the path that they were on, and they went over, and you see it there in that verse, they went over and they camped against the sea. That means they were on the beach, and they had stopped right there. They were right at the edge of the Red Sea. And then if you look at verse 3, the Bible says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And look at verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And I want you to look at... let's see here. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And if you've ever done anything, if you ever just want to get God's attention, it's really very simple. Cry out. Cry out. I see mothers that... They know most of the time when to ignore their children. Okay? Parents know the difference between it doesn't really hurt, but I'm screaming anyway, and I'm screaming and I'm in distress and I need help. And mothers always seem to know that one. And you'll see somebody jump up and go, wait a minute, my kid, and they'll run out. And you know what that kid did? That kid just cried out. He cried out. And mom and daddy heard him. And it's no more difficult, and it's as simple as that. When you are in distress, when you are hurting, when you need help, there are no magic words that you invoke to get God's presence in you. You cry out for help, and God will help you. And that's what when they saw Pharaoh coming, they did exactly what God knew they would do. And I've illustrated this before, but I want you to get this picture. God put them over against the Red Sea, and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and He brought Pharaoh over there up against the camp. And now Israel is in a trap, and God led them there. You see that? God led His people into a trap. They couldn't go back to Egypt. Pharaoh had already decided he was going to kill them. They couldn't go forward because they had the Red Sea blocking their way. And God led them there. And they didn't know what God was going to do, but they cried out unto the Lord, and God saved them. You see, because the whole time Pharaoh is there against their camp, God put His pillar of fire right there to hold Pharaoh back so he couldn't get to him. So while they could see Pharaoh, and they were afraid of Pharaoh, God was not going to let Pharaoh in until the time was right. And so what happened, y'all know the story. You've seen Charlton Heston, right? You know the story. You know how it turns out. They cried unto the Lord. God told Moses, take his rod, hold it over the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel saw dry ground upon which to walk on. And I believe exactly what the Bible says, don't you? God dried that ground up with that strong wind, and they walked across there. And just to get them to hurry along a little bit, God pulled his pillar of cloud up, and here comes Pharaoh after him. That'll make you run. Amen. That'll make sure that you're going to the right place. And I want, just think about it. God will drive us to him. He will drive us to him. He will force us, just like sheepdogs. Sheepdogs will force sheep into the pen. Or they'll force them into the chute or wherever it is that the shepherd wants them. Sheepdogs and cattle dogs will do the same thing. But they will drive those sheep into where the shepherd wants them. And that's what God was doing there. And you deal with it, people. Most of the things that God has done for you in your life, he brought you into a trap and he drove you there. He put you there so that you could learn to trust him and say, God, there is no way that man can help me. No way. God, you're all I have left. And God, I'm asking you to be good to me, not because I deserve it, but God, because I need you. God is a God full of tender compassion. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Psalm 38. Turn there. I'll just preach that and go home. Amen. That's good. That'll help us. Psalm 38. I feel slow today. I know I don't feel too bad, but I just feel slow today. So I've got 15 verses of scripture to go through with. And I don't know if I'm going to make it through all through, but I'm going to try to get through this try to move through this idea and get it into one sermon because I don't think it works any other way. I want you to think about being wounded. Okay? I want you to think about being wounded. Has anybody ever been wounded? You ever been wounded by somebody? You ever been hit by somebody or stabbed by somebody or shot by somebody? Or run over by somebody? Hopefully not, but maybe you have. Maybe you've been wounded by somebody with something they said or something they did and it hurt you. And we're going to look at things like that. But I just had this word in my heart all week about being wounded. I went all the way down to Tampa and lo and behold, the doctor stuck a knife in my back. He wounded me, Ron. Okay? But he did it for a reason. Psalm 38 verse 1, the Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Now I want you to look at verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Do you think that's what wounds are? That's what they do. Wounds corrupt. They stink. It's just sort of rotting our flesh is what it is. Even emotional wounds do the same thing. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. Think about it. And as for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. Isn't that interesting that you can look somebody in the eyes, you can tell them if they're having a good day or a bad day, can't you? We don't look at their feet. Amen. When we look at somebody, we look into their eyes and we can tell whether or not they're in a good mood or they're not in a good mood or whether they've had a good day or a bad day. Okay? I look at my wife every now and then, honey, you all right? No, not. Maybe you can look at me and you can tell whether or not sometimes I'm doing good, sometimes I'm not doing good, but it's the light of the eyes. This Bible's right. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloft from my sore. And my kinsmen stand afar off. Now I want you to think about wounds that we receive. Wounds that we receive. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking you to bless this message. Father, this morning, all I can do, Lord, is just share the word. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would bless your word. And Lord, help us, dear Father, to have the sense and the understanding and the meaning of it. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would just apply these things to our lives and to our hearts. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning that needs it. Lord, there may be somebody watching online, maybe some folks out in Kenya, Lord, that just need to, they just need to be reminded, Lord, of the Word of God and God's plan in their life. So Lord, just give us understanding. Lord, if there's someone listening today that's been wounded, maybe it's been wounded in their flesh or wounded in their spirit, maybe a wounded in their soul or their emotions or in their heart, I ask Heavenly Father, Lord, that You would just open our eyes, Lord, to give us understanding of why these things are the way they are. Lord, help Your people. This Bible is full of ways, God, that You help Your people. And Lord, let this be a blessing and a help to somebody today. And they will praise and honor You, Lord, for all that You have said and done to them in their lives. Thank You, God, for this Bible. Thank You, Lord, for us beginning our week, Lord, with You. There's no other place we'd rather be than right here. Bless Your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And in all of God's people said, amen. I want you to think about being wounded. And I just kind of went through the Bible and looked for wounds in the Bible. I see that God wounds His enemies. This is what God does. Psalm 64:1, the Bible says, hear my voice, O my God, and my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked and from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Now, there's a growing strengthening, as it were, of lost people and the worldly crowd and the wicked men that are around us, and they're gaining strength each and every day. There was a news article that came out the other day, and it's these sodomites that are calling for churches across America to stop referring to sodomy and homosexuality as a sin. They're asking us now to quit saying that sodomy is a sin. But let me tell you something. At some point, they're going to quit asking, Wayne. And they're going to use the power and the leverage that they have amongst wicked politicians and wicked judges. And they're going to use that as leverage against the churches. And they're going to, at some point, it'll be a crime for me to say that sodomy is a wretched, hellish sin. I just said it. It's wicked, it's an abomination in the eyes of God, and it's unnatural.
Amen.
Amen. At some point, they're going to try to make that a law against that. Let them. It's not going to stop the real preachers from saying it. Amen. And if they succeed in getting their way in this country, they need to understand that they're going to stand before a righteous and a holy God and give an account. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so anyway, the enemies around us are gaining strength around us. And they're eager to persecute us and they're eager to kill us. I don't know much about this Josh Duggar. I don't watch the show. Lisa does. And I mean, I know a little bit about what he's been accused of, and he's already admitted to it. It was years ago, but now it's just sort of come out in the open, and everybody in the world is going after and attacking this man for something that he did. I don't know how long ago it was, 10, 12, I don't know how many years ago it was, something he did that long. And you might have some kind of opinion on it or whatever, but let me just ask you a question. How would you like for somebody to dig up something you did 10, 15, 20 years ago and try to use it against you? Let me tell you something. If God forgives your sins, God forgives your sins. Amen? And the world may not see it that way, but God does. But the world is going to try to use everything they can to come out against you and to try to hurt you. That's what they do. In verse 5, the Bible says, they encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and their heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. And here's the thing. God will use wounds against His enemies. God will wound His enemies. It says over in Psalm 68 verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord, God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. And when I read that verse, I immediately thought of what's in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3 or 13, the Bible says, and I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13, John sees the beast rising up out of the sea. And what does he see on it? He sees that God did exactly what God said that he was going to do, that he wounded his head. He wounded it unto death. And by the way, what happened to Goliath? What happened to Goliath? Where was he wounded? When David threw the stone, smote him in the forehead, and then when David ran over to him, he took his sword and did what with him? Cut his head off. David is acting the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God always goes for the head. Amen? Amen. Do it. Give it a headshot, God. That'll drop them. By the way, that's what they tell us about if we ever see zombies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that, but if you see zombies walking around, they always tell you best shot is a headshot. Maybe they've been reading the Bible. I don't know. But anyway, God wounds the head of his enemies. Psalm 110, verse 5, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies, and he shall wound the heads over many countries. I'm going to tell you something. Politicians and prime ministers and presidents and kings of the world, wake up. You're fixing to face God's judgment on how you ruled your people. Can I hear you say amen? You moan and complain that you don't like what Barack Obama's doing, you don't like what Joe Biden's doing, you don't like what the Republican Party's doing and this party's doing. I'm telling you, God's going to have his day someday. Amen? He's going to have his day. Now watch this. Psalm 109, verse 22. Look at that in your Bible. Underline it. That way when you're flipping through your Bible, you'll see it again. It'll stand out to you. Psalm 109, verse 22. David said, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Now I want you to think about being wounded. Anybody here in the military, is anybody here wounded in battle? Anybody in our church? Okay, I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure. But they give you a purple heart if you get wounded in battle. If you get a physical wound in battle, they give you a purple heart. And I'm going to say something about that here in a minute, but I want you to understand that a heart wound, when you're wounded in your heart, that means you're wounded. The heart is always a picture of the seat of your emotions. It is like the core or the essence of who you really are. And it really makes sense if you think about what the heart does. It takes in and sends out blood to the entire body. Every drop of blood in your body goes through a central place, and that is your heart. And so the idea that the heart is like the center of our being and everything like that, God's pretty smart. He designed us that way. But I want you to think about being wounded in your heart. I'm not talking about having a heart attack or having heart surgery or an arrow through your heart. I'm talking about having something happen to you that somebody did to you or somebody whatever, and it's wounded you in your heart. And here's the thing. When we're wounded on the outside, people can a lot of times see it. When you have, like, I had back surgery. I was wounded in my back. And I thought everybody knew that until Alicia came in last night. Hi, Daddy, how you doing? Pat me on the back. Just about dropped me down to my knees. I thought she knew. But when you're wounded in your heart, a lot of times the people around you don't see it, but you know it's there. And heart wounds don't heal as fast as body wounds. Amen? They seems like they hurt for a long, long time. And I'm going to put some things up on the board, and I'm going to ask you maybe to help me preach some of this, all right? Here's some of the heart wounds that people receive. I put down here child abuse. Child abuse, whether it was physical abuse, whether you were beat up as a child, you were molested, or you just received verbal abuse from parents or step-parents. That is very prominent in this nation. Very prominent. Those wounds don't go away for a long time. Bullies. I always had a remedy against bullies. It was my sister. I remember her standing up for me one time on the bus. You leave my brother alone. And they did. They left me alone. If you've ever been bullied, either been hit by people, as I'm talking about as a child growing up, or they just made fun of you. Some of these kids that go into their school and with a shotgun or an automatic weapon and kill all the students, a lot of them were bullied. You know what that is? They were wounded so deeply in their heart that it caused them to do what they did. Some of them just commit suicide. Okay? This Megan Myers, this young lady, lives in the St. Louis area. There's a law now against cyberbullying, and it was her mom that helped pass it. There was a woman, I have no idea why somebody would do this, a grown adult woman who had a teenage daughter, knew about this girl, didn't like her, and set up a false MySpace account or something like that, and went after this girl and bullied this girl online. And it affected her so much that this young girl killed herself. And that woman got away with it. Marital wounds. Things that you say to one another. Hasty words. Fighting or infidelity. They can cause wounds in us that don't heal very quickly. Sicknesses or death. Death wounds, death has a sting to it, the Bible says. When someone that we love dies, it wounds us in our heart, wounds us emotionally. And just about everybody in this room has had to deal with that. And it's not easy to deal with. It's tough to deal with it. Battlefield wounds. And I mentioned battlefield wounds. We got several men in the church that served on the field of battle, served in the military. Thank God they were not wounded in their physical body. But what about their emotions? Now they have a psychological term for it, PTSD. Okay? Back in the day, they used to call it shell-shocked. Okay? And let's just be honest. A lot of guys came back from World War II with wounds in their heart over seeing their buddies die and over being in the battlefield, and they just basically poured alcohol over it most of their life. That's what a lot of guys did when they come back from World War II. By the time Vietnam came around, they've used alcohol and marijuana. Okay? They were so scarred and wounded in battle, in their emotions, that they found it difficult to step out of that lifestyle and come back to a normal American lifestyle. And that kind of stuff happens. How about wounds of betrayal? You'll have friends who will betray you. Friends who will turn their back on you. Friends who you think you can confide in all of a sudden now are telling tales about you and going against you. Those are wounds of betrayal. The sorrows of death. I mentioned that earlier, sickness or death. Who else can give me an example of maybe some heart wounds that people have? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Loved ones that are not saved. They'll hurt you because they reject the gospel. And you're just trying to save them. You're trying to save them from going to hell. You mean good to them. They don't see it that way. That's pretty good. Anybody else? People who talk smack about your family. Amen to that. Go ahead, Ron.
I want to be good when I come to heaven.
All right, amen. Anybody else? Heart wounds. Or did I pretty much cover everything? Okay. We get in those situations and we wonder why God allowed that to happen to us. God, why did you allow so-and-so to die? God, why did you allow so-and-so, I thought they were my friend, God. Now they've turned their back on me. Now they're saying things. God, I'm having trouble in my marriage. We just fight all the time, say things that are mean to one another. God, I don't want to live like this. And we ask questions why God would allow us to deal with wounds that are like that. Why does God do that? Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. You know what that is? That's a gossiper. That's like what you were talking about. Someone who's going to lie to you or tell tales on you. Or gossip about you, things that are either true or not true, and it doesn't really matter. When you find out people are talking about you, it hurts you, doesn't it? It hurts. And it's wounding us. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Boy, isn't that verse right? If God has healed the wounds in our soul, seems like we can do pretty good, and it's a good thing. The Spirit will sustain us. But if we have a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Who can hold on to wounds or things that people have done to us or things that circumstances have done to us or things that God has done to us? Who can hold on to those things for very long? None of us can. We might show ourselves strong if we get wounded in body or whatever and say, yeah, I can handle that. Walk it off. Yeah, that's good. But I guarantee you, you get wounded in the spirit, you find out you're not as strong as you thought you were. Which is why a lot of people will turn to drugs, or they'll turn to alcohol, or they'll turn to all kinds of lifestyles that are ungodly and wrong and destructive. They will turn in some cases over to a very destructive lifestyle. I think they just want the pain to go away. Am I right? It's because they cannot bear the wounded spirit. Now I want you to think of Christ. Christ was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53:5. Now I'm talking about even us. Let me ask you a question. Did Christ ever sin? No. So when he was wounded for transgressions, he wasn't wounded for his own sins. He was wounded because of somebody else that sinned. Remember Joseph, who was in Potiphar's house, whose wife tried to seduce him? And when he wouldn't give in to her, she accused him of trying to rape her. And then her husband, Potiphar, had Joseph thrown into prison. Joseph was accused and thrown into prison for something he never did. He was paying the penalty for a transgression that he didn't do. And let me tell you something. Those also are wounds to us. When we have to pay the penalty or the price or take the blame for somebody for doing something that we didn't do, that somebody else did, and we have to take the blame for it. That wounds our spirit, doesn't it? That wounds us in our heart. Zechariah 13:6 says, "One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." By the way, that's a prophecy because they pierced Jesus in the hands. And said, so what is that wound in your hand? He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. You can be wounded by people in your own house. You can be wounded by people in your own church. Some of it, people not meaning to. But every now and then, there'll be people in churches who are just mean and malicious. Now, I didn't say Melissa. I said malicious. That are mean and Melissa. You'll have people in a church that are just looking for somebody in the church to do something wrong so they can point the finger. There'll just be somebody that they're just gonna go after. People get wounded in the house of their friends, which a lot of times is their own church. There's people watching us online right now that were wounded by a pastor, wounded by church elders, wounded by church people, maliciously. Just cut right through them, and it hurts. And there are people on the other side of that camera right now that have been so hurt so bad in churches that they've decided never to go into one again, and they're watching online right now. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not up to me to decide whether they're doing right or wrong, because I don't want to be in their shoes. I'm not in their shoes, and I can't judge them. I'm just saying, There's people watching right now that have been hurt in other churches that they really are not interested in going to another church building again. And that's happened here before too. People get wounded in the house of their friends. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And there may be somebody here, there may be somebody listening online right now, that you fell in amongst people that took from you. They took from you, they took things from you, even things that you gave, they just took it and used you. And they wounded you, and they left you in poor condition, and they're not coming back, they don't care. And that happens to people. And while we talk about, yes, the wounds on the inside, remember that Luke chapter 10, verse 30, you know what that story is? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Finally, somebody cared enough to stop and to help treat their wounds and to take them to a place of comfort so their body could heal. And they were even going to pay the bill on it. Now I want you to think about your wounds and how you've been hurt and how long I'm going to ask this question: how long have you carried it? And then I'm going to ask another question: how long are you willing to carry it? Because I guarantee you, at some point the wound in your heart begins to stink so bad and is so corrupt that you just can't take it anymore. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? And maybe another question on your mind is, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you let this happen to me? God, why did you do this to me? I want to skip over some of this just so I can get to the meat of the message. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, you've been so long being wounded by something in your life that the wounds, they're not getting better, they're getting worse. God designed us with a limited ability, to heal, did he not? You get scraped or you get cut or something like that. And if you can bind the womb up and keep dirt out of it, your body will try to heal that. But everybody knows that there are some wounds that you can get that no matter how many times you bind it up, the body can't keep up with the corruption that's in it. And if you're not careful, it's just going to take over. If you've ever had, I had a bad spot below my knee one time a few years ago, and it had poison ivy in it, and it got dirt in it, things like that. It was scratching it, one thing or another, and all of a sudden I had red streaks going up my leg, and the thing was red hot, and I had to go to the hospital and get a big dose of antibiotics to help it. I wasn't going to do anything about it until it just got to the point, Sterling, that I couldn't hardly walk on that leg anymore. And at some point, just like the Bible's telling us, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, they've not been closed, they're not bound up, there's been no medicine applied to them, and they're not getting better. And sores like that, wounds like that, don't stay the same either. They are either going to get better or they are going to get worse. There's no middle ground there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? At some point, you've got to seek out some treatment for it, to get that wound closed up, to get it healed, or it's going to kill you. Amen? So think about this. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. That's you. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. See how he attached it together? You've been wounded in your heart. And so now Christ wants to come and he wants to heal those who have been broken and wounded in their heart and he wants to bind up their wounds. That's the first, that's the most basic, primitive medicine that practically everybody on the whole planet knows, is that when you get wounded, what is the best thing to do for it? Get it cleaned out, and then do what? Wrap it. Bind it up. In fact, when we have some sort of like accident or something like that, let's say we're running a saw and we cut into our hand or something like that, it is instinctive in our body that when we wound ourselves doing something, we reach right over, George, and bind it and hold it. We're trying to keep our blood inside of our body. Amen? That's instinctive to us. That's natural to us. We realize that the wound needs to be bound so it can be healed. We need to keep all the other bad stuff out of it. We need to keep all the good stuff in it, like blood, so that we need to give the blood a chance to clot and dry up so we can the body can start healing itself once again. Put in some ointment. He mentions ointment in here. Who in here has ever had iodine or mercurochrome put on something? Oh my goodness. That hurts. Amen. I didn't want to tell mama I got cut. Or Meemaw. Meemaw had the most meanest something in her medicine cabinet that I've ever experienced in my life. Meemaw would say, come on, let me put this on there. No! It just sting like crazy. But after a while, it goes away. And she only knew that it needs to be bound up, needs to be cleaned up, and it needs to heal. And after a while, it went away. And I realized Meemaw was right. God wants to bind up the wounds. He wants to protect the area from being hit with something again. And give it a chance to heal. Isaiah 30 verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Israel has a wound. And they were stricken and wounded. Who struck them? John, who you think struck Israel? God did. God did. Why did God allow... Let me ask you a question. What was it that was all over Job? Huh? Wounds. He had wounds that covered his entire body. Boils, sores. He was scraping. This is kind of disgusting, but he was scraping pus, infection and corruption off of those sores with a broken piece of pottery. Okay? And who did it? Who allowed it? God did. And I don't know, I'm going to wrap this up with something here in a little bit, and I'm just going to leave it with you and let it sink in. Why would God either wound us himself or allow us to be wounded? Why would God do that? Why would God allow Satan to go after Job? Why would God allow someone to hurt you? Why would God allow somebody that you thought was your friend turn on you? Why would God allow you as his child to be wounded? Why would God do that? In Proverbs 27:6, faithful. Open your Bible up to this verse and underline it if you don't have it underlined. This is good. This will help you. Proverbs 27:6. You don't have to. You can remember the whole verse, memorize the whole verse or not. But the first part of it is, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. My wife is my best friend in this world. She's had to say things to me that hurt me. She's had to. She didn't want to. Or maybe she did. No, she didn't. She didn't want to. But she had to. And I'll tell you this, God gave her to me. Because there's areas of life that I am stupid in. Now, maybe you're amening that for me. But I'll amen it for you, men. There's areas of your life that you are stupid in. Amen? And if you're, my wife loves me, but she has to say things to me that maybe somebody else wants to say and doesn't think they can. But I've learned over the years that if she really is my friend and she cares about me, then she's going to say things to me that are probably going to hurt me. But I know she's my friend, and I know that what she's saying is right, and she's being faithful to me in order to do it. Does that make sense to everybody? Or let's say that you had somebody that was a good friend of yours, and they could see something going on in your life, and they could see that it wasn't going to turn out very well for you, and they finally had to come to you and say, "Look, I need to tell you something." That's hard. If you're really a friend of somebody, it's hard on you to have to go to one of your friends and say, "Listen, I need to tell you something. You and I need to talk." I remember the first time God ever laid it on my heart to talk to Steve Leonard. We were working one day, and we got in this big truck, and we were headed back to the shop, and he was driving the truck, and God just laid it on my heart to start talking to him about where his life was going. And boy, he got mad at me. And he told me a few days later, he said, "Thank you for saying that to me. You were right." He said, "But I want to tell you something. If I hadn't been driving that truck, I'd have tore your head off." And I went, and I had done that about two or three times in the course of his life. And he's in heaven right now.
Amen.
Because every time I did it, it wasn't in vain. It was working on him, and he knew it. He knew me. Steve and I turned out to be pretty good friends. And you talk about two guys that are opposite as far as life and lifestyles are concerned. But he and I turned out to be pretty good friends. And I'm going to see him in heaven one of these days. But I had to go to him and I had to wound him. And I had to do it for a reason. Amen?
Amen.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I talked to the doctor that did my back surgery down in Florida. And I don't want to keep praising these people, but they did a tremendous job. Not just in the surgery they did, but everything that they do for a patient, both before and afterward. And this surgeon actually came and spent time with me before surgery talking about what was going on. And I liked that. I felt confident that what he was doing was, this is back surgery. Doctors don't look people in the face that they're doing back surgery on. They're looking at something else they're doing surgery on. But this man came to see my face, to hear me, to talk to me, so that he could have compassion on me and want that to compel him to do a good job. But here's the thing. Before that doctor, Alan, could help me, before he could heal me, he had to do what? That's what surgery is. Alicia had her gallbladder out because her gallbladder was hurting her. And the doctor said, "We got to get that out." So they went in, poked holes in her, and cut on her, stabbed her with knives. Okay? Targeted knives, but they were knives nonetheless. And cut all that stuff out and take it out. And she was sore for a while. But the hope is you get better. Sterling had heart surgery. He had mechanical valves put in. And I remember before surgery, he was in bad shape. And I saw him after surgery. He was in bad shape. But that old man's still out doing yard work, still doing things he likes to do. They had to wound him first in order to heal him. You getting where I'm going with this? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I want to look at verse 17 here, Jeremiah 30. "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds." That's what God said. Really, what this is all, those are the two doctors that wounded me. Dr. Prada and Dr. Weber. I like them. Okay? Oh, sure, they were probably well paid by the insurance company to do it. But both of them sat down and looked me in the face and talked to me. And they said, "We're going to try to fix you." And so far, I think they did. But both of these guys had to wound me in order to heal me. Job chapter 5, and I'm going to close it with this. Okay, this is really where I was going. I took a long way to get here, but this is where I was going. Job chapter 5. And I encourage you to read all of Job chapter 5. It's a good chapter for you. It'll help you. But here it is. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. So either you are wounded directly by God, or God allowed some bad, terrible thing to happen to you to wound you. Why? Because there's something about you that God wanted to fix, I think. Just like a surgeon who would look at you and say, what's going on inside your body is not right. I need to cut you open. I need to go in there. I need to cut this out. I need to sew this up. I need to tie these things together. They did that for my shoulder. And it took 6 months to heal up from that. But 6 months later, my shoulder just is better than it was before. And I rejoice in that. But he had to wound me in order to heal me. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, and I don't know who this is for. Don't know. I have no idea. I think a lot of it's for me. But I'm telling you, if you're wounded right now, God wanted you wounded. You might want to write that down somewhere. If you've been wounded, especially in your heart, God wanted you wounded. Why? Because now there's something that he's going to heal. Does that make sense to everybody? Let me read it again and then we'll close. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. So here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Whatever wound you received, whatever friend turned on you, whatever thing in life you're bitter about and you're aching over and you don't know where to go with it, you don't know what to do with it, at some point the corruptions are going to become so bad you're going to have something done about it. It's going to kill you. You need to turn it over to the Lord. Say, God, I know that maybe you did this or maybe you didn't do it, but you allowed it to happen. And God, I need to be healed. I need my hurt taken away. I need that hole in my heart to be bound up because it's killing me and I can't take it anymore. That's what I need. So I'm going to just ask us this morning to bow our heads in prayer.